Exodus chapter 16, verses 2 to 5 and 14 to 21 from the New Living Translation. The whole community of Israel complained about Moses and Aaron. "If only the Lord had killed us back in Egypt," they moaned. "There we sat around pots filled with meat and ate all the bread we wanted. But now you have brought us into this wilderness to starve us all to death." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Look, I'm going to rain down food from heaven for you. Each day the people can go out and pick up as much food as they want and need for that day. I will test them in this to see whether or not they will follow my instructions." On the sixth day, they all gathered food. And when they prepare it, there will be twice as much as usual. When the dew evaporated, a flaky substance as fine as a frost blanket blanketed the ground. The Israelites were puzzled when they saw it. "What is it?" they asked each other. They had no idea what it was. And Moses told them, "It is the food the Lord has given you to eat. These are the Lord's instructions. Each household should gather as much as it needs. Pick up 2 quarts for each person in your tent." So the people of Israel did as they were told. Some gathered a lot, some only a little. But when they measured it out, everyone had just enough. Those who had gathered a lot had nothing left over, and those who gathered only a little had enough. Each family had just what it needed. Then Moses told them, "Do not keep any of it until morning." But some of them didn't listen and kept some of it till morning. But by then it was full of maggots and had a terrible smell. Moses was very angry with them. After this, the people gathered the food morning by morning, each family according to its need. And as the sun became hot, the flakes that they had not picked up melted and disappeared.
Good morning, MEC. Good morning if you're online, and of course, if you're here in the building together. I wonder, do you make a point of listening to the weather forecast? If you're a keen walker, perhaps you do. If you were a resident of the tiny fictional town of, get this, Chew and Swallow, where the weather came in 3 times a day, breakfast, lunch and dinner, the weather forecaster might have told you something like this. "It will be cloudy with a chance of meatballs." Or maybe you would prefer a different forecast. Maybe prolonged sunshine with regular outbreaks of ice cream. Or warm with a chance of popcorn. Eventually in the story, food downfalls become so large that the town became a mess and the inhabitants decided that something had to be done. And you can watch the film or read the book and find out all about it. But did you notice the weather forecast that Nova gave us today? Of course, she read that Moses was going to rain down bread from heaven. It was going to be a miracle. So let's explore this morning what this was all about and what it means for us today and our lives this morning. So, Father, would you come and lead us and teach us and feed us from your word? In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I don't know a father who doesn't want to provide for his children or a mother who doesn't want to feed her children. In fact, well into her 80s, my mother was making us chicken casseroles. She did love cooking, and we were very grateful. But the Israelites traveling through the desert were learning to know and trust God. He was their heavenly father, not a slave driver like they were used to back in Egypt, but their loving heavenly father. They weren't slaves anymore. Now, they'd experienced massive demonstrations of God's power, his might, when they were leaving Egypt. Now they were learning that they had to trust God for themselves. And they were learning that he is good all the time. But after a month of traveling, their food supplies were running out and they were getting hungry. So God supplied them with a miracle that would be repeated every day for 40 years. He would rain down bread from heaven. So for 6 days out of seven, under the dew, the people would find this white, flaky substance, small like a coriander seed. They'd never seen it before. It was a mystery to them. What is it, they asked? In Hebrew, manna. What is it? It's a mystery. Doesn't God give us mysteries to ponder? Another mystery was that however much they gathered, there was always enough for the people in the household. Even the flavour was a mystery. For some, it tasted like wafers with a honey flavour. We read elsewhere it was tasted like olive oil. Later on, people didn't like the flavour, and maybe that was a reflection of their hearts. God's goodness didn't taste so good when they were wandering in their hearts far from him. In the Psalms, this manna is called angel food, heavenly food, providing heavenly strength, grace for the journey. So the manna collected daily helped the Israelites understand that God is good. He wanted to look after his people, of course he did. Collecting that manna every day reminded them every day that God is good. But added to that, he wanted to teach his people that they couldn't just collect however they wanted. There was a special way they had to do it. He wanted them to learn that what God says matters. We have to take that on board and do things his way. Of course, a couple of weeks later, those same people would be receiving the most wonderful set of commandments the world has ever been given, the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai. They had to learn to trust and obey. So God didn't want his people to be lazy. They certainly had to go out and gather it 6 days out of seven, and it might be quite a time-consuming task. Coriander seeds, if you've got them in the kitchen, go and have a look. They're tiny. So it was step by step, little by little. Then they would have to grind it or mill it and make their own cakes or loaves. But God didn't want them to be greedy, nor did he want them to be greedy. They certainly had to collect enough for the people in their household, but if they tried to collect more, or maybe store some up overnight so that next morning they could have a lie-in, their efforts backfired. I wonder if you can remember from the story what happened. Or if you can't, maybe you could come and help us remember. Is anybody brave and not too squeamish? Oh, Emlyn, thank you. Thank you, Emlyn. It did. It certainly had maggots in it. And here's one that's been prepared earlier. If you like composting, you'll love this. But if you were thinking of eating it, maybe not so much. Yes, it was smelly, it was maggoty, and it certainly wasn't fit for human consumption. So maybe that is a little picture of how our hearts can be if we refuse to obey God, if we get stubborn and obstinate or grumpy with him, and what we try to hoard for ourselves doesn't have his blessing. So hoarding, storing things up, whilst ignoring God's specific instructions, led to some very mucky manna. In other words, don't be greedy, do what he says, and enough is enough. 1,500 years later, Jesus told his followers a similar story. A greedy farmer, sometimes known as a rich fool, had received a magnificent crop. So much was produced that his barn couldn't hold it. So he built a bigger and bigger and bigger barn so that all his grain could be stored and he could sit back. He didn't think that God had blessed him so that he could pass it on and be a blessing to others. Jesus warns us that greed is a spiritual killer. Luke's gospel is full of warnings, some explicit, out in the open, some more hidden, warning us of the dangers of greed. He says, take care, protect yourself from the least bit of it. In other words, remember, enough is enough. The Message translation puts it like this: steep yourself in God reality, God initiative, God provision. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. Don't be afraid of missing out. You're my dearest friends. The Father wants to give you the kingdom itself. Be generous. Give to the poor. Get yourself a bank account that can't go bankrupt. Where your treasure is the place you will most want to be and end up being. So finally, I'd like to tell you a true story. It's told to me by a friend. It happened to her, and she was quite the opposite of a hoarder. She knew that enough is enough, and God provided both for her and through her in a most amazing way. I've checked the details, so I'll let me tell you what happened. A lady she knew came to her house very worried and upset. She needed a very significant amount of money, and she needed it that day. The family was known to my friend. It wasn't a scam. The family was known. But my friend said, you know, she sympathised, but really said she couldn't help. She just didn't have that sort of money in the house. It was far more than she would ever think of keeping. So the lady left. But my friend couldn't stop thinking about her as the day progressed and thought that maybe God was asking her to step in and help. Her husband reminded her that it's God's heart to be generous. And so she started having a rummage around to see if she could come up with at least some of the money that this lady needed. Well, the more she looked, the more she found. First, there was some that had been given to the couple as a gift, as a thank you, and the giver had said, why don't you give it to charity? And so they thought this would be an appropriate use of that money. And then there was some in a drawer that really never, you know, they might put a few pounds in, but never the amount that she found stashed away in there. And then she remembered that she'd been given some money for a train fare, and it had been put in her coat pocket, and there was a hole in the coat pocket. And you know what happens? The money sort of works its way round between the coat and the lining. And so she had a little look, and there it was. And so little by little, as the day went on, the amount of money that she found grew. Actually, by the end of the day, she had the full amount that the lady had asked her for. So she rang, told the lady that she'd actually got it and she could come and collect it. The lady was, of course, over the moon and amazed at what God had done. God's goodness was certainly on display that day. What a blessing that story is to all of us. So thank you for it. Then, just to add, a few weeks later, this friend happened to be needing to go into a department store in the retail park to pick something up. And she just happened to be going in when the sales assistants were reticketing the sale rail down to 10% of the original price. So she was able to look along this sale rail and pick up an armful of clothes that the family genuinely needed for a fraction of their original price. And it just so happened that the amount she spent was almost to the penny 10% of the amount that she'd been able to give. So the value of the clothes, full price, was almost to the penny exactly the amount that she'd been able to pass on. What a blessing to the friend, to us, hearing that story. So to finish, God will provide. Do things his way, and you will see his generous provision day by day. Bless you. Did you notice it? The children didn't need that much encouragement to come up to the front. They were actually quite enthusiastic. And That's really what I'd like us to think about. They came to receive with great excitement and enthusiasm. Is that how we come to God? Confident that he will give us good gifts, confident in his goodness. Did you notice something else? That all of them, even the smallest, had to crouch down or bend. And that's something else to think about. When we come to God confident in his goodness, let's take a moment to position ourselves, if you like, with humility, with reverence, remembering who he is. So to conclude, as we hear the words of Jesus, excuse me, we humble ourselves and listen to him. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me will never thirst. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. May the Lord help each of us humble ourselves before him, so that we may be filled with his love and with his everlasting life. Thank you.